You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, this morning we experience the greatest whiplash in the church year. We start the service, "Blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest," and just mere moments go by and we hear the echo of the crowd saying, "Crucify, crucify him." The king has arrived, is what Palm Sunday is all about. And I'll ask the question that Psalm 24 asks, who is this King of glory? The king that we expect perhaps has not arrived. It's a different king. It's one who comes not on a battle stallion, but on a donkey, who comes not with a crown of gold, but with a crown of thorns, who comes not with sword or scepter in hand, but rather has his empty hands stretched out on the hard wood of the cross. Who is this King of glory? Well, it's not who we expected, is it? We have the passion narrative that answers the question for us. And the answer is Jesus came to suffer. This is our King who lays down his life willingly and suffers for you and for me. So the question comes in my mind, what is suffering? Why do we suffer? This is an ancient question, of course. People have asked it for millennia. Why do we have evil? Why do we have suffering? Why is there pain? And the Christian gospel really doesn't give an adequate answer. But it gives a person in Jesus Christ. So instead of an answer to the problem of suffering and evil, instead Jesus actually does something about it. There's no adequate answer, but he does something with our sin and something with our suffering. But just consider for a moment, I mean, we've zoomed in on these two long chapters in Luke's gospel, and it's highlighting what Jesus came to do. He came to suffer at the hands of sinners for sinners. And if you have any question as to why that is, well, we know very little about Jesus' young days, his adolescence, his youth, even as an adult. There's hardly anything written in the Gospels. We know a little bit about his birth. We know a little bit about when he was a child. We virtually know nothing about his adult life before his public ministry, but we have most of the Gospels surrounding. In Luke chapter 9, he turns his face to Jerusalem, this preparation for what he's going to do. And all of this Gospel real estate has been spent on telling us that he suffers. But why does he suffer? Why does he suffer? And how is his suffering different than yours and mine? Because indeed we suffer. We suffer trials and sorrows in this life. But if you're anything like me, when you suffer, you turn to God and say, why? Why me, God? That's not fair. What have I done to deserve this? Or the law is held before me and I say, ugh, I didn't do this or I did that, and that's why I'm receiving. These are the just deserts of my actions. But instead, Jesus is doing something altogether different, isn't he? He's not saying, why me, Lord? He's not saying, what could I do to fix this? What legal obligation do I have to remedy this? But instead, not my will, but thy will be done. This is where Jesus' suffering is different than yours and mine. He suffers because the sin of the world is put on him. He indeed is fully righteous and fully deserving to evade all suffering, and yet he willfully takes it on. Not my will, Father, but thy will be done. Doing something altogether different than the law. He's doing something new, which is the gospel. But he suffers not just in the prayers in Gethsemane, in the lead up as he's betrayed, of course on the cross, but all of this is at the hands of sinners and the law taken to its full extent. The law does not bring life, but it brings death. And the question that comes for you and for me is this fair? That's not fair. I've said those words since I was a little kid. I hear my kids say it every day, that's not fair. And I say, do you really want to play that game? Do we want to go down that path? If life were fair, then you and I would be hanging on the cross. Indeed, the gospel is not fair. The law seeks fairness, it seeks reason, it seeks a perfect explanation for all that there is, but the gospel simply has the words of Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There's no good reason for that other than love. A few weeks ago, I saw a bumper sticker, and it said, "I hate to spoil the ending, but everything is going to be all right." Hold on to that for just a moment. Maybe you're questioning this morning, well, if all this is true, is everything going to be all right? Am I actually forgiven, or am I going to be forsaken? Am I actually delivered, or am I going to be denied? Am I actually redeemed, or am I going to be rejected? We can start doubting the gospel. We're looking again, looking for a reason, looking for that legal obligation that God has to save us. And if you go down that path, if you're looking for fairness, you're not going to find it. And so you can start questioning, am I one of the redeemed? Was his blood shed for me? And I can say to you this morning, not a drop of Jesus' blood was wasted. He had you fully in mind. I don't have a good reason for that. I can just simply say it's true because he said it's true. A good analogy for this in my life, I often when I'm having a bad day, I ask my wife, well, why do you love me? And she's a perfect sign of the gospel for me because she never says what I want her to say. I want her to say, because you're disarmingly good looking. You laughed a little too quickly at that. Like, let that sit a little longer. Or your eloquence and wit are matchless. She says none of these things. She simply says, Jay, I don't know why I love you. I just love you. I just love you. Never gives me the reason. The law is never enough. She simply gives me the grace that she loves me, and that's it. That's the reason. Similarly, we can ask, well, God, why would you do this for me? Why would you suffer and die for me? And he doesn't give a reason other than he loves us. Going back to the bumper sticker, if you doubt it, I hate to spoil the ending, but in Jesus Christ, everything is going to be all right. That's the gospel message for you and for me this morning. And like the disciples, maybe we're looking for a way to wiggle out and find the law, to bear the sword, to fight power with power, to seek retribution. But you notice they can't even stay awake, can they? Our futile attempts at trying are always found us lacking and wanting. We're always the ones falling asleep at the wheel. The good news of the gospel is Jesus does his work for you and for me. And I hate to spoil the ending, but everything in him is going to be all right. And perhaps you don't believe my feeble words this morning, the words of this preacher. But next week, we're going to hear a message from a greater preacher. I'm not talking about Dean Pinter or Craig Smalley. I'm talking about a preacher who emerges from the grave, preaching the very forgiveness of sins, preaching the peace of God. He has the authority to lay down his life and take it up again. He has the authority for his words to be efficacious. So if you won't hear my words this morning, hear his. And I hate to spoil the ending, but in Jesus Christ, everything is going to be all right. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us for one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.